Welcome to Veterinary Advice Animal News and Views, the place for pets and the people who love them.
Here, kitty, kitty, kitty.
Here are your hosts, practicing veterinarians Dr. Roger Welton and Dr. Karen Lewis.
Hello, pet lovers, and welcome back to Veterinary Advice Animal News and Views. My name is Dr. Roger Welton, coming to you from the lovely state of Florida, where it's an inferno right now. And, of course, my lovely co-host, Dr. Karen Lewis. Good evening there, Dr. Karen.
Hello. So we actually have mail today. I'm excited.
We do. And it's Casey. We can't say her last name, but we love you, Casey. She's a returning champion. She's
yes.
Emailed us a few times, and she's always had some pithy things to say, good questions. And let's go ahead why don't you read this one to us there, Dr. Karen?
Okay, sure. So it's not too long, so I'm just going to read the whole thing because it's pertinent to the last episode we just did. So
it's cute, too.
It says, I just listened to your last podcast about the, quote, holistic heartworm prevention wanted to share this with you. I work at an ECC facility, which we think means emergency critical care. Casey, tell us if we're wrong. I work at an ECC facility in Wisconsin. Had a client come in and was helping give the history on a dog that was there for treatment. When I asked about flea and tick prevention, he said that their trainer told them how dangerous the topical was to humans and to the pet, and the side effects with the oral prevention, he recommended they use pet protector. Dun, dun, dun. This is a metal disc that goes on the pet's collar, which supposedly emits magnetic and scalar waves. I don't know. Is there such a thing as a scalar wave? I need to review my physics. Anyway. And keeps the pet free of ticks and fleas. I was skeptical, and so was the owner's husband. When I asked him how this was supposed to work, he said, I don't know, it's some kind of voodoo. It seems that his wife was usually the one who took care of the vet appointments, so she couldn't be there that day, and it was her idea to use this product. So, little gap there. I looked it up and was laughing from the start, because at the top of their page, they say, keeping your pets flea and tick free for 4 years. Wow, 4 whole years. LOL. Gee, Frontline has only been around for 24 years, with the main difference being that it's medically proven to be safe and effective. Anyway, here's their website if you'd like to see it, what I call the woo remedy. Anyway, thanks, keep it up. We can only change these misconceptions by providing clients with the science behind veterinary medicine and other remedies that do work, and you're both doing wonderful work in providing this knowledge. So thank you, Casey, not for the flattery. Well, thank you for the flattery. But
we love the flattery.
Yeah, our egos need it. We have low self-esteem, actually.
We do.
Yeah. Anyway, but thank you more for we love stories like this. And it warms our heart to know that there's people who aren't falling for this stuff. So magnetic. If that worked, I would wear a giant magnet every time I walk my dogs. I just walked my dogs tonight and pulled 3 ticks off of me. I actually was driving, felt one crawling up my leg, and pulled over so I could open up my car door and shuffle it out the window. So, or out the door. So,
yeah.
But unfortunately, no.
Just a quick follow-up on that. Bravecto has become my new best friend. And I'm not plugging the product and nobody's sending me on a cruise. I'm paying full price for my cruise in a few weeks with my family. Merck is not paying for that. But the Bravecto, this is amazing. Amazing thing about Bravecto. Bravecto circulates through the body, but it undergoes no chemical reaction in the body. There's no change that occurs. So it passes through the liver unchanged and gradually seeps out of the body via the feces. So there's no processing of it, no dangerous metabolites. So you know every drug that goes through FDA trials. Oh, by the way, Bravecto is an oral flea tick that lasts for 3 months in dogs and cats. So it's topical in cats, oral in dogs. But they require an LD50, right? And the LD50 is the lethal dose by which half the patients die.
Right? Of rats.
What's
Let's
that?
Clarify.
Of rats.
Of rats.
My bad. Yes, of rats.
Yes.
Sorry.
Not the patients
well,
that you prescribe.
This
to,
stuff yes. is so safe. They were like 20 times, I don't know exactly how high, but they were getting ridiculous high doses and nobody was dying. And, you know, the FDA is like, okay, this one time you don't have to listen to LD50. So, that, right? And so that's
up.
How safe this stuff is. So no magnets, please. Especially here in Florida. They would laugh at the magnets. They laugh at Frontline even.
Well, as you see, as Frontline, you always say, is a flea aphrodisiac.
In Florida, it is.
Which
it may
makes
work
me
in
laugh.
Wisconsin. It may work fine in Wisconsin. But.
Because I have a client who's actually moving moving to Florida, and she would talk about fleas and stuff. I was like, oh, it is a different world down there, honey. So in terms of you cannot miss a heartworm. You can, you know, it's just,
yeah,
it's a different world.
These fleas actually dare you to put front line on the dog. Go ahead, do it. I dare you. So we're talking about something tonight that can seem very voodoo like, using Casey's term.
Yeah.
It was your idea. So why don't you please introduce us to the great world of pheromones?
It's funny, I have a monthly newsletter I do for my practice. It's an email newsletter. And, I always do a little series, and I did a series that's called Help or Hype. And I did coconut oil and fish oil and all things we've talked about before. And I was like, I'm going to do pheromones because pheromones are kind of the opposite. They sound like hype. It sounds like, how many TV sitcoms have pheromones in them with people? You know what I mean? I'm like, it's kind of been mocked. But it's funny because pheromones actually are scientifically effective and proven. And I actually feel really sorry for the sales rep who came into my first vet clinic and tried to sell me pheromones, and I kind of laughed him out the door because I was like, oh, that's crap. Ah. Yeah. But there have actually been really well-designed controlled studies. So first of all, let me just explain to you guys what a pheromone is, because it's not a hormone. It's kind of an abstract concept. So animals, of even insects, produce and secrete pheromones. And what they are is they're a means of basically like silent communication. So it's a chemical that's produced, and other individuals of that same species then detect it, and it can be used to announce danger. It can be used to announce readiness to breed. It can announce there's food here. Certain insects will leave pheromones to mark that there's food. It can encourage calmness. So there's a lot of uses for it.
And encourage coitus.
Okay. Pretty much use the encouraging calmness. there's a couple different strategies about it. And like I said, when I first heard about this, I'm like, okay, so it's this mystical voodoo chemical that doesn't have a smell. We can't see it. How does this work? But anyway, there are actually good studies that show it. So the main two that we typically use are the first ones to be invented are Feel Away for cats, and it used to be called DAP, dog appeasing pheromone, for dogs, and now it's called Adaptyl. Why they changed it, I have no idea. But anyway, so Dr. Rogers, since you just had a string of urinary tract cats, and you probably suggested the Feel Away to them. Because we're just talking about that. I'm like, well, you actually are probably selling a lot of it. So I'll let you kind of explain what the Feel Away is and what it does, so they don't have to listen to me yammer.
Yeah, just call me Dr. Cat Pee these days. Ever since our podcast, I've been cursed with nothing but these FUS cats, feline urologic syndrome, that are coming in with painful, you know, bleeding bladders and with no, you know, apparent underlying cause. And certainly we have to have the whole conversation about, you know, the pheromone therapy, because it is one of the bona fide strategies in managing this, because it's very stress related, very connected to stress. So the pheromone, per my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm going by my last SIVA lunch and learn. SIVA is the company that makes Feel Away. The pheromone is derived from the glands at the base of the ear that the cats all rub all over.
It goes from the base of the ear to like the cheek the whiskers. It's like that whole side of the face.
And when your cat's rubbing on you, a lot of us mistake that, not mistake it, but we just take it as, oh, my cat loves me, or that cat loves me because it's rubbing on me in that way. But they'll also rub on inanimate objects. And what they're basically doing is marking that object or person as safe. I think that's the best way to put it. Would you agree, or you got any other?
Yeah, and they're kind of marking it as theirs.
As theirs,
they're saying, this is, and it's not like it's mine and not yours,
right?
But it's like,
it's not greedy.
they watch Sesame Street, they share.
Yes,
but it's like, this is mine and I approve of it, you know, like it's kind of a stamp of approval. This is mine. So, I was just at a client's house yesterday and I had my laptop on the counter and the cat would not stop rubbing his face on my laptop. I mean, like, oh my gosh, up and down, up. I mean, this cat, I was like, okay, we get it.
Yeah. The laptop is safe. We get it.
I know. We couldn't function. Oh my God. We're dying. It was like 5 minutes of this. So, what the pheromone is, they were able to, and no, they're not harvesting this from cats. They were actually able to make a synthetic.
Synthesized, yeah. We're not draining the glands out of cats now.
Yes. They're not milking the cats or whatever. So anyway, so they make a synthetic analog of this, and it's available in several different ways. I personally prefer the plug-in diffuser because it's low maintenance. It's kind of like an air freshener. You plug it in, it doesn't have any scent, and it diffuses this chemical pheromone through the room, and it basically tells the cat, you've marked all of this. No need to pee outside the litter box because everything is yours. You know.
And it covers 750 square feet, I believe.
Yeah, give or take. Yeah. So most people's houses need two. My house, because my house is 1,400 square feet. So I'm like, oh, exactly two. Perfect.
Exactly two.
So some people in these huge houses nowadays, I'm like, you need four. I'm sorry.
That gets pricey too.
It does, because they run about like, we get to replace them every month. And so you're looking at, for the replacements, about $25-$30 a pop. Yeah. So they could be $100 a month just in replacing freaking fill away things. But I have some people who swear by it and are like, oh my gosh, I don't care because my cat is not peeing outside the litter box anymore. And I have other people that are like, it kind of helped. I don't know. But they make two different versions now too. And I do not know the difference. I'm not going to lie to you. They have the original feel away. And there's also, we didn't get paid by the manufacturer to say any of this. Okay. There's other brands who do some more things now. Nature Calm, Comfort Zone. Okay. There's other brands that are pheromones too. Feel away was just the first one to come out. It's kind of like Kleenex, you know.
Band-Aid.
But yeah. Or Jell-O.
Right.
So anyway, there's a regular, the original, and then there's a multi-cat version, which they say is good for inter-cat aggression. So the chemical differences, I honestly don't know, and no one's ever been able to explain it to me in a satisfactory fashion. But they are different enough, and I have had people with inter-cat aggression who are very, very pleased with the feel-away inter-cat version, or a Comfort Zone, or whatever it may be. Again,
yeah. And I defer to the sprays when our issues are mainly the veterinary visit or grooming or something like that. Because at home they may not need it, right?
Right.
I have a cat who's the sweetest thing, and he's, by the way, one of those urinary cats. I have to have him on this perfectly strict regimen. He lives in the master bath and in the master bedroom, away from the other cats, because we learned that was part of his stress issue. But anyway, he's the sweetest thing. He's like my little buddy. But I take him to my clinic to do anything. God, he's a nightmare. He just becomes Lucifer cat. You know, and so for those cats, we like the sprays because, you know, it's cheaper. They last, I believe, for 8 to 12 hours, depending on the product or whatever it claims. And they can be very, very effective. Spray down their bedding that you stick them in the cage that you're traveling in, and can be very, very helpful. And I've seen it work in a real setting for some cats that, you know, you can't fake this. Yeah, this cat was a very different cat the last time I saw it before we tried this, you know.
Well, and actually, so one of the studies that I read when Feel Away was first coming out, when the sales reps were coming around telling us this, and I was laughing them out of the clinic. Sorry, Robert. There actually have been – you can make a study and design it very poorly and make it say whatever the heck you want, okay? Or you can make a study well, and it takes – you have to have a certain level of scientific ability to kind of – discern which studies are which, but their studies were actually good. They were double blinded, they were controlled, and they actually showed, I believe, don't quote me on this, but it was an 84% efficacy of feel away within 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And they actually had like, they didn't just say, that cat looks happier. Okay. You know, they actually had like physical cues that they monitored and rated like objectively in a scale of 1 to 5. You know what I mean? It wasn't just he looks happier. Sure. You know, so
purring now.
Yeah, I mean, it's behavior, so it's always going to be a little subjective, and there's just no two ways about that.
Sure.
We can't interview the cat and ask them to circle how they feel. So,
yeah.
But anyways, I thought it was good. Feel Away came out first, and then the dog version came out, which I was also skeptical of, and the poor sales rep had to go through that again with me. So, because I'm horrible. Sorry.
Well, you know, a good scientist has to have a certain level of skepticism. I mean, if we took everything at face value, we would be using magnets to treat fleas and ticks, you know. So,
this is true.
I think a little skepticism is a good thing. You know, certainly when you a product like this, you know, but the interesting thing about, and you know, maybe you're privy to more recent information than I am, but my understanding of a Dactyl is a little different from the feline version. This one's actually derived from the lactating mama, mm-hmm. because her the intent there is to calm the pups to relax and nurse like happy little puppies, and I guess they're able to synthesize that as well. They're not squeezing this out of pregnant female or lactating female dogs.
Well, I don't even know where you would squeeze it out of, because it's not in the milk. It's like emitted like from their pores, you know. So it's very, yeah, and this one, it's a little bit more abstract to me, because the cat, the whiskers, the marking, I can wrap my head around that.
Yeah.
And the lactating mother puppy calming magic, I'm like, really? But again, there have been good studies that show that it works. And for the dogs, well, some companies make this for cats too, but they'll also make it in a collar, which is nice, because dogs absorb this pheromone through their nose and through their mouth. Actually, if you look at the roof of your dog's mouth, behind the front teeth on the palate, there's a little lump. Some people call it a Jordan organ, and some people say that that is how pheromones get absorbed. Who knows? Maybe somebody just made that up and was really convincing, and I fell for it. I don't know. But
it's the first time I've ever heard of it, actually.
Really? The Jordan organ?
I just call it the nubbin. And I never knew what the heck it was for, but
thank you
for that. Appreciate it.
So, trivia. So, anyway, so because all these receptors are on the face, the collar works well because it's emitting this pheromone and it's, you know, right there by the dog's face.
Sure.
So the collar has to be changed 30 days too. So if you have multiple dogs, the plug-in's better, because you got to buy 1,000, you know, who wants to buy 3 collars and you can do 1 plug-in for the same price. But they make the collars for cats too, but cats and collars are always kind of a sketchy endeavor. So
scary, frightening. You know, they could like hang themselves and stuff. You know,
they're not like breakaway or anything, yeah. You know. And so I'm always kind of like, eh. But yeah. So for dogs, the collar, and I have some people who will do the spray on a bandana, and the dog wears a bandana around their neck, like if they just need it to go, like you said, to the vet or the groomer or something like that. You know, spray that, and they get the good mojo. You spray it like an hour in advance. Put it on them. Assuming your dog tolerates bandanas, if the bandana is more stressful than whatever, it might negate the benefits of the.
I have a Labrador Retriever. He loves bandanas. They love bandanas.
I have a Dachshund who gets bandana paralysis. I tried to put it on and make him look cute for a picture, and he was like, "What is this hell you're putting me through?" And I was like, "It's a freaking he's like fuck."
Yeah, if you're putting a Dactyl on it, I'm putting it on you to de-stress you.
Yeah, and he's like, "Oh my god, this is how I'm gonna die." So yeah, so it doesn't work for my dog. My dogs are weirdos though. So
yeah, so you know, and I think it's prevalent that we're talking about this, or relevant that we're talking about this, because what's right around the corner, 4th of July.
Hell for dogs.
Rather frightening for dogs. Cats not so much though. I mean, my cats don't get stressed at all by it, really. They're just
Just like internalizing the hell out of it. I don't know.
Maybe they can be, and then they're gonna have bloody pee in a few days.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
It could well be. So, you know, because I one of my FUS cats that I had come in the other day, and I have to explain to this owner that your cat is stressed out. Well, this cat, seriously, you would think this cat's on Quaaludes. It's so chill. It's like a big orange Garfield cat, you know.
Yeah.
Just the sweetest purring. You know, I'm sitting there examining the cat. It's putting its paw on my face, you know. And I'm trying to explain to this owner, well, there's an underlying stress here. They're like, really? Because he's just like this at home.
But you know what? This just hit me. Yeah. It's 4th of July week, and everybody's already setting off fireworks in my neighborhood. It sounds like a war zone.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a coincidence that you're getting all these urinary cats?
Holy crap. You know what?
I just put that together.
Yes. You know what? It's not a coincidence. It can't be, right?
I know. I'm like, seriously, because you just said that, and I'm like, wait, what week is this? Duh.
I had 3 just today. I mean,
yeah.
It's not an uncommon thing to see, but 3 in one day? Even on what we call Wacky Wednesday? I'm a little less available than the other doctor, and Wednesday's the only day I see patients the entire day. So everybody tries to cram in their Dr. Roger time that day.
God.
So Wednesdays are just insane. We call it Wacky Wednesday. But even on Wacky Wednesday, 3 of those cases are very short.
I wonder. That's You know what? I'm going to ask my other vet friends, and have you seen an uptick in your, you know, urinary tract disease? Because it totally makes sense.
It does.
I think we're onto something. I think – guys, this is like totally spontaneous too. So
yes, it is.
We both have like light bulbs over our head right now. Like,
indeed. Ooh. And here, you know, in Florida, every corner there's a fireworks store here. I mean, is it legal there in Illinois?
So Illinois, only the lane fireworks are legal, but right across the river, and you drive 30 minutes to Missouri, and there's huge fireworks stands right over the river. So everyone goes, buys their legal fireworks, brings them back here, and it's kind of stupid.
Yeah,
so.
Like borderline NASA-type rockets.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing some of the stuff you can buy over the counter. But yeah, so you could be onto something. So especially with the Zen cat, you know, why is this cat having urinary issues? And he just doesn't, nothing stresses this cat. This cat's so bad, I had to do a perineal urethrostomy on him where,
oh my God. That,
yeah. He obstructed really badly. And got all plugged up, could not unobstruct him. And had to do an emergency perineal urethrostomy. Absolutely could not get through that urethra with a catheter.
I'll just translate. The perineal urethrostomy is making a boy cat into a girl. Just translation there. Okay.
Yeah. Shorter, wider urethra. You know, I mean, that's the best way to put it. Turn him into a. I call my male cat. I did that surgery on him. I call him it. You're an it. You're an it. He's neutered as well, too. So. So uses for dogs. We talked about fireworks. Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever seen it really work for the fractious dog visit? You know, the dogs that you got to muzzle, and I haven't seen an improvement with those.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
I haven't
really.
Fractious kitties, yes, on the feel away side, but for adaptive.
Well, I don't use it. I'll be honest, I don't use it for fractious dogs. Well, because I do house calls, and so most dogs, if they're fractious at home, if they're that nuts, I'm busting out the hard stuff. Yeah. You know,
yeah.
I'm doing the trazodone, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think, like, I think it does help for. Like more generalized anxiety in the house. You bring home a new dog. Everyone's a little anxious. I think that helps a lot. Moving dogs and cats love it for moving, you know, because that's a big stressor.
Sure.
So it's more like situational, like longer term things like that than it is like the 30 minute vet appointment that, you know, comes and goes. So yeah, I really don't have a basis for that. I'm trying to think of who I've tried it on. Yeah. Sorry. No answer.
So you're kind of a behavior focused veterinarian, and you're pretty knowledgeable about it, and you're far more interested in it than I am, which is wonderful.
Well, and actually, I wasn't interested in it until about a year ago when I had to be by necessity.
Okay.
Because of my own dogs.
Nevertheless, you're a valuable resource for me, and I got another spontaneous one for you, because I'm sure a lot of our listeners out there have experienced this problem. I got two Jack Russell Terriers patients. Came in today for the first time ever. So our timing is impeccable here right now, by the way. I'm not making this up. So you got a 10-year-old one who's like sweeter than pie, just a beautiful, beautiful, sweet little Jack Russell, which to come in and they're licking everybody and there's no anxiety whatsoever, no muzzle. He's just a love. And then you got this other one who's younger, 5 years old. They've lived together all their lives, right? So it's not a new relationship. She's a little more wound up, a little bit of a fear biter, not outwardly aggressive. But the reason they came in is because the younger dog suddenly after 5 years has become has begun to viciously attack the older one. And the older one will fight back, but the owner really feels that if she doesn't intervene on these fights, the female would go so far as to kill the other dog. The female
younger
one.
Oh my God, that's horrible.
She does. She feels that it would go. She feels the dog literally is trying to kill the other one, going for the throat, not letting go, biting the owners as they're trying to break it up.
Oh my God, yeah. That's insane.
It is insane, and the fact that it came out of nowhere is really, really weird.
It never comes out of nowhere.
Right. Well, came out of nowhere after many, many years. You know?
Right. Because it's usually been festering under the radar. There's usually signs. It's just that they're very, very subtle and people don't see them is what I've learned. My own dogs included.
Sure. Well, she's coming to me for solutions and I'm not really a big behavioral guy. Well, we have, luckily, a local behaviorist who's not a veterinarian, but has all these certifications and she's wonderful. I don't know how you feel about the company Barkbusters. They do centralized training in Denver. They're actually Australian-based.
I think you mentioned them
company.
Once before. Yeah.
Yeah. They basically teach you to speak dog, they say. And, really it's not like what Cesar Millan does. It's not pack-based mentality type thing. It's utilizing the body language of the dog, you know, and stuff like that. So I did bring up Adaptil, which is why I wanted to ask you, is that I don't see any harm in trying it. I don't know if it's going to help one hill of beans.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if that was my case, I would definitely do Adaptil. I would do a theanine supplement, Soliquin, I like a lot. There's even a prescription calming diet with these dogs. You have to throw the entire pharmacy at them.
Right.
but you also have to keep them separate for a long time. Because I actually dealt with intradog aggression for a year and a half with dogs who were fighting and attacking me when I that's why I became so into behavior, because I had to be, okay. You know, it wasn't because I wanted to be. And I will tell you, intradog aggression is the most difficult thing to treat. It sucks. And first, there might be signs that the older dog is giving that we don't see. So I'm glad you sent them to someone who's going to teach them dog body language, because it's usually, it takes two to tango. So it's rarely just out of the blue one dog. There's something going on, and it might not be that the older dog is trying to stimulate that dog. It could be doing something inadvertently that other dog perceives as threatening or something, you know. Sure. It's not about dominance. It's not about an alpha dog. All that is BS. I have a whole article on my blog about all the papers and the science, because, you know, I'm a scientist. Don't believe me, believe the experts, about how the whole alpha dog myth has been disproven since 1980 and nobody listened. But anyway, so yeah, it's tough. I'm glad your body language is key, and honestly, just physical separation until you can really.
That's where we're at right now, because, you know, I'm treating, you know, puncture wound infections on the older dog.
And oh, God.
It's just the sweetest thing. Yeah, it was bad. And I just met this lady and these dogs for the first time today. And she's pretty distraught over it.
Well, but, yeah.
Cool thing is that the therapist actually shows up to the house and watches watches the dynamic of the home, looks for cues that could be maybe something about the flow of the humans in the home that affect the dog and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. We had discussed, you know, Prozac. And my understanding is, in these cases, Prozac in the long term could be beneficial, but in the short term could actually be a trigger.
Yeah, any of those anti-anxieties, if dosed incorrectly, can actually lower inhibitions. I'm a fan of trazodone twice a day. It's a little bit of a different kind of SSRI. A lot of behaviors do those Prozac, paroxetine type drugs, but it also takes 4 to 6 weeks to work, as you know. So it's not going to be that. Well, none of these are a quick fix, you know.
Sometimes what the behaviorists will do is say, okay, well, here's a situation. Here's going to be our approach from a therapeutic standpoint, but this dog really needs Prozac as well.
If they actually approach you and want you to prescribe drugs, email me and I can tell you what drugs to do. Excellent. And I'll give you doses and I'll help you out.
Yeah, and there's no harm in throwing Adaptil at it. There's only an upside, right?
So. Oh, exactly. And that's what I love about these pheromones, is because they have no side effects. They cannot hurt a thing. Right. That's why I'm like, well, try it. The worst thing that happens is you're out $30. Oh, you know what I mean? And that's it. So, but with fireworks coming too, another important point, if you want to just think about the whole, especially like I said, more dogs than cats with fireworks. But there's a myth that says if your dog is scared, or your cat, well, usually your cat is in the corner peeing blood, probably.
Right. Yeah.
If your dog is the kind who wants to go hide in the basement or anything, there's a myth that said not to reward them and not to console them, because what you're doing is you're rewarding the fear and you're teaching them to be afraid. That is complete crap. So you need to actually – you cannot reinforce or train an emotion, okay? They're scared. You're not teaching them to be scared. You're teaching them that you're not a complete dick by consoling them, okay? Because some people are like, oh, tough love. I'm like, be there with them. There's a lot to be said for white noise. I'll find a noisy TV show and turn it on real loud. You know, that can help a lot. If your dog wants to be in the basement, let him be in the basement. It's quieter. It's further away from the fireworks. Let him. Give him their favorite chew toy, their favorite bone. They'll probably be too stressed out to chew it, but offer it anyway, you know.
Distraction.
Thunder shirts are great if you want to try those, you know.
Spray it down with Adaptil and then put it on.
There's a lot of stuff you can do. Your vet can prescribe drugs as well. The one drug that you do not want is azepromazine. I think we talked about that before.
Yeah.
That's the 1970s, which back in the day, that was all they had. So I get it. But it's a sedative and it actually makes anxiety worse. So don't do that one. But there's a lot of other good drugs out there that your vet can prescribe. So
yeah, yummy drugs.
I'm off my soapbox now.
Valium and Xanax and things like that. But the, you know, I found that amazingly, the Adaptil Thunder Shirt more effective for my own dog, because he doesn't get actually fireworks anxiety. He could sit outside while I'm blowing off fireworks.
Oh my God.
It's the thunderstorms that he just goes, he'll actually be walking around shaking, vocalizing, panting, and dropping deuces as he's walking. That's how frightened he gets. And so he's a great test subject for me because I've tried everything with him. I found the Thunder shirt sprayed down with Adaptil is fantastic. And also, have you tried the Soleo?
I'm gonna be honest, the science hasn't convinced me yet.
Oh, it works.
I'm on the fence. I'm very strongly on the fence still because I don't like the side effects, the potential side effects of it. And I don't like the fact you can misdose it relatively easily, in my opinion, or get it on the person. That scares me. So that's why I'm kind of like, eh.
Yeah,
it's a sedative.
Yeah, it's a micro dose of a sedative.
Yeah. It doesn't have any. So the thing that I don't like about it is because this particular drug does not have any anti-anxiety function. It's just a sedative. But then I read a study, and I'm going to watch a webinar, I think, next week on it. Not by the company, but it says actually, no, there
not
are
by the company. Good idea.
Yeah, they'll say it's magic. Yeah. But there are receptors in the brain that are anxiety triggers that the Soleo does inhibit. So I'm interested in that because I'm like, well, if it does affect anxiety, I would be more interested in it. Right now, it's just a sedative, and I know, but you like it for your dog, and you say it works great.
I love it. So like when we have hurricanes or tropical storms, you know, you're talking about serious, like hideous anxiety for my dog. I will use it during those times. I honestly don't use it more often because even at cost for my 86-pound Labrador, and I get things at cost because I'm a veterinarian, and even then it's cost prohibitive. It's expensive.
Wow, is that expensive?
Yes. Because, huh. You know, 'cause he gets a half a syringe. It comes in syringes. He gets half a syringe. So if I gave it to him, so right now we're in everyday thunderstorm time of year. Every day between 1 and 5 p.m., we're going to get a big thunderstorm. And if I dosed him with one every day, first of all, how healthy is that, number one?
Well, I was going to say you couldn't, but yeah.
It's not very smart. Even though the safety data looks pretty darn good, and it is a micro dose when you compare it to what we use in the office when we're doing, you know, minor surgery or other things with it. But the even weekly, crap, it's expensive as heck. So that's one of the – now, if I got a panicky little Shih Tzu, perfect. You know, that's
that syringe will last forever, yeah. So.
Yeah. But we've kind of gone down some tangents with, you know, other modalities to manage canine anxiety. Let's talk about cats real quick. Remember we hinted on before the episode, we hinted on gabapentin. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Well, but that's a drug. That's not something you can get over the counter. But I just had a cat who, the last time I saw him, he almost bit my technician, was rolling around trying to attack us. And we were like, yeah, we're not going to draw blood. 22 pounds. So
that's a lot.
Yeah. And there's no scruff. There's no nothing. He's all teeth and claws. And he did not want us to draw his blood. So anyway, we got him. He was really, really sick. We got him feeling better. And we tried. I've been to a conference. They suggested it, and I tried it for the first time. The owner gave him a gabapentin. And about 4 hours before the visit, and we came, and the owner came to the door and said, he is so stoned. And I said, good. His pupils were big. And he was like, what's up? We came to the door. So
nice.
We drew his blood. I got to listen to his heart.
Wow.
It was amazing. I got to look at his mouth. He did hiss. I mean, it didn't change the cat. He still hates me.
Right.
He was just okay with it.
He just hates you in a somewhat calmer fashion.
Exactly. Less vehemently. But you know, yeah, so that was amazing. But he would have been a good cat to do feel away with. But when they're that aggressive, feel away will help. But I'm not sure it's going to make a cat who wants to just, you know, kill you. Just, you know.
And so my first experience with gabapentin and its use in cats, because it's got a lot of different uses. We like it for neurological pain. It can be adjunctive therapy for seizures, more so in dogs than in cats. But my first
anxiety, even believe it or not.
Yeah, it's an anxiolytic. But my first experience with gabapentin, you know that weird condition, feline hyperesthesia, where they have this phantom pain over their back, towards their tail.
I never actually officially diagnosed
feline hyperesthesia.
I'm always like, eh.
Yeah.
So have you?
I mean, there's bona fide sensitivities. X-rays are fine. There's no neurological deficits, no reason to believe that there is intervertebral back disease, which is not very common in cats to begin with. And yet the cat is showing bona fide signs of pain. And some of these cats will actually, vocalize and then drop and then start like kind of chasing their area and chewing at it like something suddenly bitten them there. I just recently had a case the other day. I don't see it all that commonly, but my first go around, and incidentally, the last continuing education I did on this attributed it to stress, that it is actually real perceived pain. We don't know why, but something about the stress is causing inflammation of those nerve endings in that area. We don't exactly know what's happening. It's all speculation, but gabapentin works very well on that condition. And I think, I want to say it was about 4 or 5 years ago, the first time I tried it on one of those cats. And that cat was not the easiest patient, maybe not as bad as what you described. But, you know, because we maintained this kitty on gabapentin, he would come in already on gabapentin, and he was a different cat. So I remember thinking, you know, it wasn't really – I don't even know if they were studying it for anxiety at that point, but I remember thinking to myself, well, I wonder if this could be used for that. And here we are all these years later, and it's become a thing to the extent that, you know, it's in all the continuing education lectures. So, but that's something that you could combine with the feel away. Any other stress reducers for cats? We touched on casein, milk casein.
Oh, yeah. There's a Royal Canin makes a prescription diet actually called Calm, and it actually has milk protein, casein, tryptophan, all those things in it. And again, there's another thing that I thought was a bunch of BS, you know, like food. I'm cynical, can you tell? But I'm not going to be taken for a sucker. So, but a lot of the behaviorists I've talked to actually recommend it. And again, it's what can it hurt? Right. You know, you got to feed your dog something, so feed it that. There's also some supplements like Soliquin, which is a theanine. It's a different kind of protein supplement that it's a flavored treat that's easy to give. There's all different kinds of different knockoffs of that, too. So there is a lot of things for cats, because especially these urinary tract cats like the ones you've had, those are the ones that I'm like, we've got to do a full court press here on anything to help this cat's anxiety. Cause
anything and everything, even my Quaalude cat. If I got that thing any more chill, I think you would just sleep all day. But, you know, clearly there's got to be anxiety because that's the trigger. But it's just so strange. They're such mysterious little creatures. You know, they're I'm not going to go there. I was just going to say something that probably would get me in trouble. So I'm just going to leave it right there.
I always tell people that cats, their mission is to not make our lives easy as veterinarians, because like everything you learn in vet school and the exception is cats. You know, yeah. And then you're like, blah, 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 except for cats. And you're just like, of course.
Right.
So, yeah. So anyway, but to circle back, I mean, pheromones, if your dog or cat is like super, super fireworks phobic, they alone are not going to do it. But let them just be like one of the tools in your toolbox of white noise, being in the basement, consoling them, special treats, thunder shirt, maybe prescription drugs. There's a whole bunch of stuff with anxiety. This is not something that you're like, I'll just try one thing, and then I'll try another thing, and I'll try one. No. You got to put out the fire with the ocean.
Yeah.
And then you need to kind of say, okay, what can I back off of? It's kind of a reverse psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I found that works pretty well.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. You know, you can't talk them off a cliff. You know, it's not when they're that terrified. It's all just they're so fight or flight. The canines and the felines, of course, more so the felines. They're such stress-driven creatures to begin with, but totally agree with that. Throw out everything in the kitchen sink, and then you can gradually start to dial back. I think that's a very sound approach. And I wonder if I'm going to have three more urinary cats tomorrow now that you brought up the fireworks, because there's more and more every night, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's any coincidence.
Yeah, July 5th is going to be a real fun day for you, I'm sure.
And I'm that's a Wednesday, of course, right?
Oh, you're right.
Another
that's
wacky
so funny.
Wednesday.
Okay.
But great topic. Thanks for bringing it up. Very relevant. Casey, thank you very much for the email. Everyone, please keep the emails coming. We do like to get email. It lets us know that people are listening. It also, you guys give us great ideas for episodes. Some of our best episodes have come from questions from you guys. So the email address is comments@web-dvm.net. Any closing comments here, Dr. Karen?
No, just enjoy the 4th and console your pet.
Sounds good. And how nice that we connected 2 weeks in a row.
Hey, we're on fire, baby.
How about that? We've been resurrected. So are we gonna try to go 3 for 3?
Hey, man, let's do it. Although it'll be July 5th. He'll be busy unblocking cats, so I don't know.
It's okay. I stopped seeing patients at 5. I should get out of there by at 7 or 8.
I'm
hoping. So we should be good to go.
So, wow.
Well, happy 4th, everybody.
Thank you
for listening.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.